344, Mizmor Lamed Ches, Ein Nisoyim B'Vesari B'nei Zamecha. It's a very scary thing. Toh means there is no limb, there is no organ, there is no part of my body that is complete because of your anger. And if the Shmuel gets angry, then page 344, Ein Nisoyim B'Vesari, there is no completeness in my basar because of the anger, your anger, Hashem, you have brought upon me punishment, and my body aches. Every organ, every limb. Rachmanu l'tzlan, people are sick. I went to a levaya not long ago, and the son said about his father. He said this, a similar pasuk, not this pasuk. The pasuk in Eicha is mikaf roish v'ad mikaf regel ad roish. Ein bar mason. He basically said that the doctors did a job on him. He was sick for many, many years, and they did a job on him. He was a very halachach, and they did a job on him. Basically, every single part of his body is suffering. He has an issue with, because Rachman Gulsan, he was sick for many, many years. So this pasuk kamat says the same thing. Rachman Gulsan, ein mason b'psur b'nei zanach, because of your anger. Ein shalom ba'at samai. There is no peace. And my bones, because of my sins. It's very interesting that the word, the pasuk David associates peace with bones. Because Chazal say that a person that is not jealous, there's a famous quote, that a person that's not jealous of anyone, his bones do not decay in the grave. The bones, so you see that the bones have to do with jealousy. And jealousy, it's interesting, has to do with peace, shalom. When a person has a degree of jealousy that affects a person's ability to be at peace with his fellow man. All right, whatever it means.
English is an expression. Not a jealous bone. In his
doesn't
body.
Have a jealous. He doesn't have a jealous bone in his body. A jealous bone. Here he says there is no peace. Ba'at somai b'bnei chatosi. It's curious as to why David uses the word shalom in reference to his bones. We have here Bosar and bones. Bosar and bones. Time Chazal, we learn the Gemara, the way they buried people was very, very different than we do today. And in fact, when you go on a tour in Eretz Yisrael, we'll actually show you this, is that it's at some point in time, it seems not time of the Gemara, it seems the time of the Nevi'im, times of Tanakh, they would bury a person temporarily. A person would die, they would take his body, they would put it in the ground, and they would wait a period of time until the basar would decay. And when they were certain that the basar was fully decayed, it turned into dust, they would go back to the grave, dig up the grave, and take the bones, and collect the bones and put the bones in a small little box. A small little box, and that little box they would put in a crypt, into a mountain, into some type of cave. Now those boxes were very, very small. You can feel like, you know, today there's a very, very big problem in the Eretz Yisrael. There's just not enough cemeteries. And they're doubling, tripling, and they're doing all these very, very interesting things in order to accommodate all of the Mason. And it's interesting that Chazal were ahead of the game. And basically, when you can fit one body, they were able to fit who knows how many bodies. Because today, you know, a coffin takes up a lot of space. But if you just take the bones and you collect the bones and you put the bones into a small little enclosure, it takes up a fraction of the space of a full body. And that's exactly what they did in time of the Nevi'im. A body was buried, and they waited for the basar to decay, and then they called likut atzamos. They would then have a ceremony at a later point in time. I don't know how long this took to come back and to collect. To collect the bones. They would dig up the grave, the boss of the cave. It was called Rekev. Rekev was dust, and they took just the bones, and they collected it and put it into a small little teeny box, and that box they would put away, L'man Yandu Yomim Rabin, into the side of the mountain, into a burial crypt. And that was the liquid atma. So this goes against all the Chassid Shem Aislach. Because all the Chassid Shem Aislach for the Bosar never decays. Okay. The tzaddikim, the boss, oh, the time of the Nevi'im, they were no tzaddikim, right? The boss never decays. And number two, even when the boss does decay, there's a hapada not to disturb the bones. The bones, the skeleton, should be you know,
Leah
was the oldest Hasidus of Maislach, where the bones were disturbed, and someone said something, and miraculously, the bones, they were realigned. Okay, so Leah had been, all right, I don't know all these things, but these are Hasidus of Maislach. It goes against what it says in Chazal, that what they did during the time of Chazal is where there is Basar, Nikudat Samais, and there's no Hakkad, the bones should be arranged according to as the body was. It was put together in a small little enclosure. And we go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Haraz Eisim, I want to go to Haraz Eisim, they actually show you this. They show you these crypts, and they even claim that some of these crypts can be, who knows how old they are. And they show these teeny little coffins. They're teeny. What are these? What are they teeny? What, in the fallen? These are children? But no. These were very chashu people, and this was we called Likud Atzamot. They actually have today in Eretz Yisrael, you can actually tour, Harzaisim or other places, they actually show you these burial crypts that have these very small coffins.
That's when they
didn't put into Likud Atzamot. They had a cave, and then there was a little, like, teeny cave, what's in the size of the box. You put in that somewhere, and you see it, it's on the rock. They didn't have to put it
into a box?
No box. You put it into
just the bones.
Even the nifter, they would put it in a. You see the cave, it looks like a cave the size of a person's body. They slipped the body in there.
They let it sit in the cave.
And then they
came back and took out the bones and just cut the bones. No box. No box. Okay, could be. And then I don't know. We don't know whether they did these things.
They had to move them from somewhere else for whatever reason.
It sounds like it was done. I don't remember.
That's a modern Mikvah.
It sounds like it was done. The Chatchila, it was a two-step process in the burial of a person.
Right.
The person was buried temporarily just so that the basar should decay, and then turn to dust. And then they would come back at a certain point in time and collect the bones and put away the bones permanently in its eternal resting place. Look, there are a lot of very interesting midrashim about the bones of Yosef. The bones of Yosef, when they went in the midbar, how did they transport Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef? So we all have this picture in our mind that there was this big coffin, and it was metal, and there were people always in charge of the Levium. They were continuously carrying it in the Aron Kikai, right up against the Aron of the Torah. Kiyum zeh, mashakasa bezeh. Okay, that's what we've been taught, and that's 100% true, but there are other midrashim that say some really way out stuff. And for example, some say no one wanted to carry his bones. There were people busy with dafyomi, busy with shaduchim, busy making parnasa in the desert. They were busy. Who has time to go and take care of Yosef's bones? So they took his bones and they took an animal and they cut open, like, you know, today they talk about, there's a company now on the news, they're offering all their employees to put chips in their hands. They'll cut you open and they're going to put a teeny little microchip in your hand. That way you don't need any cards, you don't need anything, you just walk into the building, you put up your hand, the door opens for you. They'll embed in your flesh, a microchip, which will identify and track you, v'chulu v'chulu. So Chazal were way ahead of their time. They did the same thing with an animal in the desert. They took an animal, they sliced open its skin, and in the skin of the animal, they fashtupt the bones of Yosef. They took Yosef's bones, and they stuck it into the hide of a living animal. And therefore, we don't have to carry it. The animal walks anyway. The animal that's walking on its own will move the bones of Yosef. Why should we have a big coffin that weighs a lot and have a whole collection of shifts of Levim carry the bones of Yosef all the way to Eretz Yisrael? We'll just take Yosef's bones, we'll stick it into an animal, and the animal will anyway walk. And that way, we don't have to go and worry about it. No one has to carry it. That's what it says in the Medrash. That's the Mamash what it says.
Bones don't fit into a skin of an
animal. Why not? Why?
Well, a skeleton is very big and bulky.
So you divide it among a couple of animals. You take a big animal and you cut open the skin in a creative way, and in this, you embed in between the flesh and the skin of an animal the bones, and that way no one has to carry it. It walks on its own. The bones will travel on its own. As it says in the Medrash, the Farish in the Medrash. Behold, you familiar with this Medrash? It says the Farish in the Medrash. So we're talking about, so obviously when they carried Yosef, they didn't take his bosa. They took his bones. And in fact, some of the Mepharshim, they discussed this, that Yosef, the chilik between Yosef and Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu said, take me out of here now. Why? Because Yaakov did not want his bosor to be buried in Egypt. Why didn't Yaakov say to Klal Yisrael, when you leave Egypt, take my bones out of here? Teretz is, the only thing you're going to be able to take out of here are my bones. You're not going to be able to take out of here my flesh, my bosor, because my bosor is going to decay, and it's going to turn into dust. And the dust, you're not going to be able to take out of Egypt, because that's just going to sink into the ground. The most I could expect you to take out of Egypt, if you leave me here, you bury me here, will be my bones. That's not enough for me. I want you to take out of Egypt my bosa. And therefore, you have to do it now, before it decays, before it turns into dust. Yosef was not zoicha to that madrega where his bosa left Egypt. Yosef's bosor remained in Egypt. His bosor decayed and it dissolved into the ground of Egypt. What did the Klal Yisrael take out of Egypt? Only his bones. Vayikach Moshe es atzmois Yosef, not his bosor. Don't you think the bosor of Yosef that turned into dust is Kodesh Kodashim? It certainly is. Yosef atzadik, Yosef atzad shifteka, certainly his bosor was Kodesh Kodashim. But he was not zoicha to what Yaakov was zoicha, that even his bosar, the rekev, shel bosar, should be taken out of Egypt. In any event,
so where does that whole concept of the bodies of tzaddikim go to decay? Yosef atzadik.
I don't know the answer. We don't know. We don't. It says in the pasuk of the Farish, Moshe took his bones. Moshe took the atzmois Yosef. It only says he took his bones.
Who put the atzmois Yosef into the
Who, I guess, his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, he died. When he died,
they put only the bones.
Well, what exactly did they do? They embalmed. So Yaakov Avinu,
they put the body in. The body was in a coffin, let's say a lead or some lined coffin that was on the bottom. It wouldn't
have, has the dust.
The water, unless the fish got to it, it wouldn't have deteriorated.
So you're saying that everything was in a sealed box. You're saying everything, the Pasha says, what they teach in elementary school is, they put Yosef in a box. In an airtight sealed box,
right,
and they close it. And in the desert, there was an Aroin. His Aroinoi Shel Yosef, when the Yam saw the Aroinoi Shel Yosef, the casket of Yosef Itzpo. So we assume that in this casket, it was an airtight casket, which included his whole body.
Water,
he didn't. Watertight, sealed. And there was, his body didn't decay. How could it be that if all the grace of Ebbis, the body didn't decay? How could it possibly be that the body of Yosef decayed? How could it possibly be? And if it did decay, it was in an airtight, water-sealed box. So all the dust is in the box itself, right? So the Pasha is, his body for sure didn't decay. And even if it did decay, itself contained in a special box. But you know, that's not what it says in the Pasha. The Pasha says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmois Yosef, the bones. And Chazal tells us in Midrash that says they took his bones, no one wanted to carry it, they got tired of carrying it, so they cut open animals, they stuck the bones into the animal, all these interesting stories. So what about the Basar? What about all the Chassidus of Eislach? Okay, so it, you know, I don't know, you know, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to say. In any event, over here, this pasuk over here is an important pasuk, because over here it divides the body into two parts. It divides the body into bosar and into atzomas. David says, while I am alive, there is no misoim. Misoim comes from the notion of tam, tamimus, completeness. There is no completeness in my bosar because of your anger. And aim shalom ba'atzomai. There is no peace in my bones, because of my sins. Now let's go further. Ki avoy noisai avu roishi. My sins are over my head. This is an expression. They have passed my head. What does that mean exactly? They've gone over the limit, over the red line. Like a burden, a very heavy burden, that it's too heavy for me to carry. So the person is carrying a burden, you put on your shoulder, and the burden, you put on your shoulder, the burden goes over your head. But over here, the burden is so heavy, I cannot bear to carry it. Chazal over here are telling us a very fascinating metaphor that a sin weighs, it has weight. It weighs you down. What is the metaphor of weighing a person down? You can't run. You can't move. You can't travel forward fast. People in life are travelers. You need to get to your destination. You need to get where you need to be. But if you're carrying a heavy load, you can't walk so fast. You walk slowly. You are not able to reach your destination in life when you are weighed down by the burden of carrying sin. It's a very powerful metaphor. Hiv ishu means it is rotted. Nomaku, it has melted. Chaburoi soy. Now what has rotted? It seems that my flesh, my body, because of chaburoi, it's because of my wounds. Bibnei, because ivalti, my foolishness. Here is another chazal, that a person only since ein adam choyte ela imke nichnas vay ruach shtus. It's only because a person acts foolishly, the foolishness of a person is what brings sin, and that caused a person to decay, to rot, v'chulu v'chulu. Na'avesi, I'm crooked. Okay, na'avesi, I'm bent. Na'avesi, let's see, put the precise translation, the mitzudo is tzioin, inyun ikum, crooked. My spine is no longer straight. I have a crooked spine. Sha'choisi, I'm bent. I'm hunchback. Ad mo'oid, very much. Chol hayoim, every single day. Koider, hilochti, I walk in darkness. The word koider means I have a dark complexion. Either means that my focus going forward. It's a dark world out there. I don't know. There can be many interpretations of what this means. Yeah. That when it's dark at night, when it's dark, you don't have a light. You don't know where you're going.
I go in gloom, he says.
In gloom?
Yeah.
I walk in gloom. It's dark. You don't have a clear path in life. Okay, let's go further. Ki chisolai.
It's like, Kodair is like the blackened bottom of a pot. It's a rug.
Okay. Ki chisolai malu nikle. What is chisolai? That's the part of the leg, the upper portion, the loins. We call the loins.
Layot.
What?
Layot.
The layot?
Layot.
Kloyos, the kloyos. So the kloyos, the kidneys, the kidney area, the part of the leg, the bone, that is right along, it's the upper portion of the legs. Malu nikle, it's filled of nikle. What is nikle? Mitzudas is moiked usrefa, burning. Burning, they are burning pains. Ve'ein misayim biv sari, and here he repeats himself. This is very bizarre. We don't like repetition. Repetition is not a good thing. Again, it repeats, there's no wholesomeness in my bossa. Okay, now let's go. Klal pradu klal. In the klal, okay.
I'm
going to klal.
Okay. This is not good.
We're going to all the different enechanan. Let's see now. Let's do one page at a time. Let's read this. There's not too many mafreshim we're going to focus on here on this page. Let's do the mitzudos of these pesukim and pasuk dalit. There's no place in my body that's complete. Because of the yisurim. As I said that. Okay, pasuk hey in the mitzudos David. I'm on page 345. Avru Roshi Himshil Marbis Avon Kilubam Bemayim Amukim Vyoivim Esarosh Mimal. Now, this is not really what's in the pasuk. What he's saying over here is he's comparing over here sin to water. I'm walking in water, and the water is over my head. I'm drowning. I'm in over my head. And he uses this in reference to water. Nachmol Himshul Marbe Selvan Kiilub Amayim Amukim. I'm in very deep water. V'Oivim Esarosh Limal. Could this be an interpretation? So why we go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah? I want to talk about that today. Later on, Tashlich. Why don't you go to there? There are only 100 reasons as to why you go for Tashlich. Over here, according to the Mitzvah Stavim, when it says that when you're in piss deep water, it's a metaphor that you're in over your head with sin. I'm drowning in sin. Sometimes the person needs to be waking up and realize, you look at the yam and you see the deep water and you realize that if you were to fall into the deep water, you would drown because it's overwhelming. A person, Rosh Hashanah, has to wake up and realize that the sins are, he's in over his head. Ki avoy noisai, my sins over Roshi. He's learning over here in the Mitzvah that the first part of the pasuk has nothing to do with the second part of the pasuk. The first part is dealing specifically with water. I'm walking through water, and the water is drowning me because it's over my head. And then he says a different metaphor: Kimasa kaved, kimosh yev shalosis, masa kaved, kim kavdo avonasai at shehim akavedim me a rech a koyach, more than my power, more than my physical power. Asher bi v'lo uchal l'seis, I can no longer carry them. V'humiloshon melitza, this is an expression. So the Mitzvah David has done something amazing. He has taken over here this pasuk, he has broken it into two parts. The first part refers to some metaphor of drowning, and the second portion is the metaphor of carrying a load that is overbearing, overwhelming, and it's crushing me. Pasuk vav, hivishu.
How does he know that Hashem is angry at him? It doesn't say that.
So Hashem, a person, I guess a person knows.
He says,
well, that's part of the emuna. Emuna is that nothing happens to a person. Hashem, at tzaddik, at sur, tamim, polo. If a person is suffering, it's because of chait. What could a child suffers? What could a child possibly have done deserves such incredible suffering? Go to a rachmos in a hospital, and you see children, incredible suffering, little teeny children. What do they do? What could they possibly have done? Oh, but we have a moon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a person unless he deserves it. I don't know. I don't have an answer. No one has an answer. You have to have a moon. But David, I guess David is a mature adult. David, he has a moon. And David is saying, and David was totally, that was the beginning of the Mizmor, but Basheva. David very, very often, he acknowledges that what he did with Bathsheba was shaloi kedin. It was not proper. On his madrego, it was not proper what he did. And he acknowledges that, and also he acknowledges with Shaul, he has guilt that he did not have the proper derech eretz for shver. For shver, he cut off the corner of his Shaul's garment. He mentions that was a mistake. He mentions in a few places that on David's madrega, he is acknowledging that my punishment, my suffering has come because of my sins. Who are we to say? Kol ho'eimer David chata, eine elatoya. That's for us to say. Anyone that says about, did David sin? Well, David said, I sinned. But there's many perushma, obviously. What do you mean David didn't sin? Kol ho'eimer chata. It's not for you to go and analyze David. Anyone called ho'oimer, if a person will go and accuse David of doing an avera, you have no right to do so. Eine elatoya. It's not for you to make accusations against tzaddikim. But the tzaddikim, it is their duty to acknowledge their own sins. Look, a person today, if a person will say, insult someone. If someone will insult even a teeny little insult about a public figure. Terrible. The person has to ask Machila, he's a Rasha. The person can make a World War III. How dare you go and insult me? But yet the same public speaker will get up and self-deprecating humor will say about himself the nastiest things. What's the difference? I could say about myself whatever I want, but you have no right to insult me. No one has a right to go and say about a public figure the smallest mashahu. But for the public figure to get up and say, you know, eschatoai ani mazkir hayoim, he can do whatever he wants. And sometimes it's maybe his duty to do so. Kol ho'oimer David chata, eina elatoya. But David, to acknowledge what he did, that he took a woman who was viewed in the world as being an eshes ish, how you talking? David HaMelech, the Melech, the leader of Klal Yisrael, should go take an Eish HaSish and live with her and have a child? She became pregnant? Hayitachem? David over here is confessing the whole Tanakh, the whole Tehillim, David confesses for the sin. But for us to go and make that accusation, Toya, she was divorced, she got a get, this and this, ABC, don't mind your own business. It's not our place to go judge great people. Let's go further.
It seems that he has guilt feeling.
He does, certainly.
And not only this, but he has the Yirat Elokim.
He's afraid that Hashem will punish him. Somehow.
Well, Hashem is punishing him. He's suffering. David suffered most of his life, Chazal say.
It's
punishment. Of course, it is. That's what he's saying. He's acknowledging that the reason why I am suffering is because I am doing something wrong. I mean, you see, this is a very big debate in the Musa Sfar. If a person suffers, he asks, why am I suffering? So there are two mahalchim. I'm suffering because I did an Avera. Hashem is speaking to me. I did an Avera, and I have to now make a cheshbon in HaNefesh. I'm doing something wrong in life. I'm not living the way Hashem wants me to live, and Hashem is giving me a wake-up call, a reminder. And then there are times, the Gemara said, then the person is in Yifashvesh B'masa. It's not Moshe Feresh Gemara. A person, that's the first thing a person is supposed to do when he suffers. And then he analyzes, he goes through his Seder Hayom, he goes through his life, all of the Averos, what could he have done? And sometimes a person is able to say with conviction, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I've analyzed my entire life, I did everything I'm supposed to do. I keep it avoeim, I was with my chavim, I never stole a penny. I did everything. Why am I suffering? So then the Gemara says, you should be toila and bittel toira. Bittel toira. You could have done more. You didn't do anything bad. You didn't do anything bad, but you could have done more. Bittel toira is to a degree a catch-all for this more you could have done with your life. And then the Gemara says, let's say even that doesn't work. Okay, so then the Gemara says the last thing to do is it's Yisurim Shel Ava. It's a very complicated, a very mystical concept that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a person Yisurim in order to magnify his reward in the next world, which is a very, very scary thing. And Chazal say, person should be mispalo loyhein veloy secharam. We don't want it. No one should want such a thing. This is not for us to want. Loyhein, not the yesudin veloy secharam. So look at a child that suffers. That's in real pain. A child, you know, you said, so what did the child do? To say the child did an avera, you can't say. The child should have done more. Should have done more? Well, of course not. What could he have done more? So if you want to go down the Kabbalistic approach, which it doesn't say anywhere b'chol haTorah kula, he's a Gilgal from a previous generation. That is not something that is a traditional thing to say. That in this generation, people have loose lips, loose cannons, they go and they shoot off that idea. He's a Gilgal from a previous lifetime, and in that lifetime he did these terrible avarice, he's coming down to Hashlama. You know, this is something that is very, very dangerous talk. And unfortunately,
it's
people
to punish the parents.
That's not fair. To punish the parents. What are the children with the child? The child should suffer to punish the parents. The child should suffer to cause the parents. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone is judged separately. The Hashem has many ways to punish the parents. Hashem has to punish the parents by causing another person to suffer. Let's focus on the person who is suffering. What did he do? I did nothing. So why is he suffering? To go and to say, I've heard this many times, I've read many books like this, I've read many public shiurim. Everyone today is a Gilgal. Everyone's a Gilgal. Oh, everything can be said with Gilgal. This is sloppy. In my worthless opinion, this is sloppy talk. This is not we once learned the Malbim of Sisrei Beferish. He said Beferish, you should never say this publicly. This is Sisrei Torah. It may be true, but it's not something, not something that we have any comprehension of. What does the Gemara say? What is the Gemara says what? Yisurim Shel Ahava. The Gemara says. A person is suffering, the first thing is Yifashvesh B'masav. Did you do an Avera? Did you cause someone Tsar? Are you the cause of someone else's suffering? Yifashvesh B'masav. If that doesn't work, Toile B'bitl Toira. What does Bitl Toira mean? Basically, you should have done more. There's two types, Din V'cheshvin. Din, Din v'cheshbon. Din is punishment for your averos. Cheshbon is what you could have been doing at the time when you did those averos. When you were robbing a bank, right? When you're holding up a bank and terrorizing a whole collection of people and stealing people's hard-earned money, you know, during those 2-3 hours or during the 20 hours of preparation, you could have been learning a daf gemara. You could have been doing mitzvahs. You could have been on the phone doing good things, helping people, doing good things. There's a cheshbon of what you could have been doing during that time when you did the avera or what you could have done. Let's say a person makes a calculation. It's not because of yisurim. It's because of averos. It's not because of bittul Torah. It's yisurim shel ahava. And therefore, when we look at people in this world who suffer for no reason, the only answer is the Gemara, Fereshu Gemara. It's sloppy to say Gilgal. That's not. It's not a mature, correct thing to say. It's yisurim shel ahava. We don't know what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection to this neshama that we have no understanding of. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring this neshama to an exalted place in the next world. And that's why this neshama is suffering in this world for something that he has no connection. To go down a Kabbalistic approach and say a Gilgal, excuse me, are you a Kabbalist? When was the last time you said Tikkun Chatzos? When was the last time you practiced, you were Poyresh from the Tanug Yo'ilam, Olam HaZeh? But when was the last time you fasted? When was the last time you came to davening early? Forget about all these other things. When was the last time you woke up and davening early? And all of a sudden you're going to become the biggest world expert and go tell everyone it's because you're a Gilgal. It's sickening. It's not much sickening to hear people talk like this. Okay? The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't talk, the Gemara makes no mention of this. The Gemara says, Yifash Vesh B'masav, Bittul Torah, Yisudin Shel Ahava. What does that mean? It's a very big mystery. What it means? It means emuna. Have emuna Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his reasons. He wants to bring this neshama to a different place. We really don't understand what it means. And David over here is not saying any of that. David over here in the Hakdama to this mizmar, we learned that David is being toile Yifash Seish B'masav. David does never seem to talk about Yisurim Shel Ahava. David always seems to be toile in Yifash Seish B'masav that he did averos. And that's a very practical musr for us. Let's go further. We're out of the ring of time.
What about the Yov and not knowing in advance that it was just a test and nothing else? Nothing else.
That's so pashut.
Did anything wrong?
Was toiled in the beginning. There's a lot of, we learned that Eve here once upon a time. Eve goes through every possibility. Eve does say that he was toiled in the master, that he was not appreciative. He did not give musa to his children. There's a very long, Eve is a very long sefer. He goes through all the possibilities. He goes through every single thing. Eve, it's not possible. Eov is not, you know, I always say, who is the one in the Tanakh? Who in Tanakh suffered the most? So he asked the average person, Eov, of course, Job, Steve Jobs, right? Who is the one who suffered the most? Of course, Eov, wrong, not so. The one who suffered the most in Tanakh, Ishya Tanakh, is Yonah. Yoina is the one in Tanakh who suffered the most. The proof is his name means to suffer. What does Yoina mean? Oh no. The word Yoina means
no.
What?
Oh no.
Oh no. Yoina's name means to suffer. There is no one in Tanakh who suffered more than Yoina Hanavi. Yirmiyahu is not called, not as much. No, Yonah suffered. We once learned this. Yonah is the one, the person who suffered the most. His suffering was a spiritual suffering. Eoyev suffered physically. His suffering was, I had wealth, fame, children, success, good health. I lost my children, I lost my assets. He was fighting bitterly with his wife. And you know, some will say that's even worse than losing his wife.
No.
His wife became his worst enemy. He was giving him musa. And she gave bad advice. She was cursing him. She was why he suffered and then he lost his friend, everything. But everything that Yonah lost, that Eov lost, was all in Olam Hazeh. There's very little mention, discussion of Eov suffering in the world, of Ruchnius. Yonah was a Navi. Hashem sent him on a mission to Nineveh. Coming up, Yom Kippur is coming up, and when Yonah went and Hashem told him the mission, he did not like the mission because he realized this would end up being a kitroik for being a kitroik for Klal Yisrael, and it caused him enormous grief. And then the entire story, as it unfolds, is just more and more grief. And the very end, with the kikoyo and the yoina, when that thing grew and gave him shade, that was more grief. Okay, yeah, we studied the psukim of Yonah; they're extremely powerful. And a name, there's something to a name. The name Yonah means, the word Yonah, it comes from the word onah. Onah is suffering, to suffer. And Yonah means a man who suffered. He is the one who suffered the most from all of the Ishei HaTanach. All right, we're getting off track. Let's go back. Pasuk Vav. In the Mitzvah is David Yavishu. Yavishu means to decay. What does this mean? Ritzon Olam Bavur Ki Mimaku HaChavurois. My wounds have caused me to melt. And this flesh melted away. V'yotziu Hadam V'alecha.
That's
the Isha. But what's key? Okay, there are two words here. My body smells. Okay, it smells. That is a foul odor. Because kinomaku. Why? Because my wounds they melted me away. Because the wounds have been aggravated.
Chabura.
In Lakewood, they give chaburas. They punch each other. It was someone that I know, he always would every time make the same with Sonis. It's not chaburois, it's chavurois. Chavurois. Not, I said, what do you mean? Molchanta shaltera. Molchanta shaltera, you punch each other. Okay, so there's a chabura that means a wound, and there's a chavura which is a group. Okay, weiter. Hivishu es besari. Okay, Hivishu es besari. Ivalti, we tell them I want to sign my sins. Ki ein adam oiver avera el imke nichnas veruach shtus. Over here is a very important chazal. Over here, David is saying over here, the reason why this is like basically plead insanity. It's an amazing thing. Every time a person does an avera, what is the defense? The defense is insanity. It's mamish chazal, we're ahead of the time. Okay? Ein odom choite ele imke nichnas by ruach shtus. Yet you see that insanity is not a valid
defense.
Not a defense. See, it's not a defense.
Yes.
And yet a person, yes, and yet that person is judged. Every person is judged on the Yimei Hadin for all of his averos.
It's a different level of insanity
then. Okay, na'avesi nis'aken gufi ve'elech shochuach.
It's more
than irrationality. It's more
than irrationality. How could you possibly do this when Hashem doesn't want you to? It's irrational.
Correct. Now
the person is acting and thinking irrationally.
Mental incompetence.
No, it's not mental incompetence. It's the Eitzahara.
You're coming to different types of insanity. There's a person who all right, whatever it is, but there is something to it. A person who does an avera is not thinking. He's not thinking.
He's out of his mind.
And yet it's not a defense. The person is punished, the person is judged, a person is held accountable for allowing himself to become insane to do an avera. A plea of insanity in Chazal does not carry much weight. It really doesn't. And that's a very interesting lesson in modern society. You know, a modern society do whatever they want. You know, we live in a country, there's their own laws, do whatever they want. But if you want to go look at Torah as a model, you see that a plea of insanity does not carry much weight. What does it mean? I'm bent. I'm nisakin. My stature My posture is crooked. Nisakim gufi ve'elach shachuach. I walk bent over. Koyder hi lochti elich b'cheshkas hatzarois. I live in the darkness of difficulties. Pasaches malu nikled. I'm full of burns. What kind of burns? Hema malem serefas eish shacholi. Illness comes with heat, and the heat burns my flesh, burns my bones. The ein mokom sholem b'bisari for some reason. It's interesting why we're repeating over here this concept at the top of the page. Ein misoim b'bisari, and at the end it says the ein misoim b'bisari. Repetition. It's not so clear why. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean the word misoim? There's no tanimus. There is no tanimus, completeness, wholesomeness in my flesh. Keramachol. What does this old French word mean? Perfection. Wholeness, perfection. Yichbedu, kivedim, is heavy. Heavy. My sins, they weigh down on me. Naveisi loshon achazot achazatoi avis. I've been seized by crookedness. Okay, means like we said, crookedness. Ramachol, what does that word mean?
Stunned.
Interesting. I am stunned. Now, so that's a whole different interpretation, because we're learning over here the word anavesi to be crooked. So he's saying loshen achazosay avis. It means I've been taken over by shock. I'm in a state of bewilderment.
Like a seizure.
A seizure. Okay, so that's an entirely different interpretation. It comes out in the machlekes from the Mitzvahs and Rashi. What does it mean here? This. It means Navesi, I'm stunned. And when a person is in a state of shock, they can't think clearly. If it means to be crooked, that means something entirely different. Pasiches, kisolai malu nikle, my bones are filled with burns. B'machashavti ani kal be'enei atzmi. A whole different interpretation, and this is amazing. This interpretation is mamish. There's an industry, a multi-billion dollar industry, for psychologists and psychiatrists on this. I have no self-worth. I have no self-worth, okay? My kisolai, my loins, filled with nikle, kal. I don't have any confidence in myself. I have no
self-esteem.
A person doesn't have self-esteem, he has nothing. He's just a shmata, and you have no desire to succeed in life, and everyone just steps on you. B'machashavtai. Shame. So it's similar. But here, Nikla is saying, ani kal be'enei atzmi. Doesn't say shame. So, see, it's a similar, it's a related word. But it's different. He's saying, I'm kal. I have no self-esteem. I have no, I'm a nobody. I'm a total nobody. You have to have a shminis shebishminis, a shtickle gaiva. In life, you have to have a little mashu of gaiva to stand up for yourself. In ein anili, mili. You just can't let everyone just step on you like a piece of garbage. You have to have a little self-esteem. David, over here, we discussed the mental, psychological damage. I saw from psychological, Rav Mordechai, good morning, shalom aleichem. Mordechai, morning. I suffer from psychological damage. I am b'machashavti ani kal be'eni atzmi. What?
I'm cursed.
But he's saying, okay, he's saying a different shot. He's saying that, now what is the word, what does it mean the word kal kisolai? Kisolai relates to the legs. It seems like that this, I'm not sure, it doesn't really say, we learn the kislai according to the Mizuli, it means the upper portion of the bone, the upper, like the loins, like the thigh,
right.
The thigh area, but it could be that it means more like footsteps, it means my strides. In life, in order to get somewhere, you have to believe in yourself, okay? You have to believe in yourself in order to get where you need to. In order to get where you need to go. And if you have no self-worth, you're not going to be able to take strides in life, to move on, to move forward, to get to where you need to go. David here is saying, if you notice, Rashi over here is consistent in Pasuk Zayin Ches, Rashi is ahead of the time, and he's saying that David is suffering from mental illness, he needs a psychologist.
Depression?
He's saying two concepts. Pasuk Zayin says Na'avesi. Na'avesi means I'm in shock. I'm in a state of bewilderment. That's how Rashi learns. It's not like what it says in the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah says we're dealing with physical conditions. According to the Mitzvah's David, David has a very healthy, robust mind. And what's the problem? The problem is, physically, I can't do my duties as king. Na'avesi.
The Mitzvah's David said, Kodeh Hilati.
That's code. That's
no. So no, but that's what that was the same state of his mind.
Yeah. Okay. But that, okay. They find that. Find that. Okay.
I was in a depression.
And Rashi doesn't comment on that. So Rashi Luchar agrees. But the difference is, according to Mrs. David, there are some parts of this pasuk that are discussing David's mental state, and other parts of the pasuk are describing David's physical state. According to the Mrs. David, David says, "I have a lot of health issues. I have a problem. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. We're getting worried about you."
Yesterday was 7:30.
So we have over here, Koyder, according to Mrs. David, Na'avesi means, it means my spine is crooked. I can't walk. I can't get out of the chair. I can't walk. I have big problems. I need a lot of surgery to straighten me out. Then Shachoisi Admoid, I'm bent, physically bent over. Kol Hayom the whole day, Koyderi Hilochdi. Now, for the very first time, the Mitzvah David says, Koyder means, I walk, my mental state. I'm living in a state of gloom. Gloom, my mental state is very, very gloomy. And then he goes back to this physical state. It vacillates between the physical and the mental. Ki chesolai molu nikle. You know why I have a bad frame of mind? Because I can't walk. Because my loins are burning. They're full of burns. I have a burning sensation in my thigh. And then the ein b'sarim b'v'sarim, my basar is incomplete. Rashi learns almost every single, he doesn't comment every single word, but Rashi over here learns that most of what it says in this pasuk is not dealing with his physical state. We're dealing with David's mental state, which today is something which people appreciate. Post-traumatic, what's the term?
Trauma.
All of these post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay, today these are things which are in the last 20, 30 years have been studied and are much better understood. And if you go study history, these type of things no one ever spoke about years ago. These were things that no one really, everyone just brushed aside, just snap out of it. No one really appreciated the depth of mental health. Mental health is a new field. It's in the world today. It's a new field which is studied, is understood, and there are medications, and there's a very, very significant understanding of how these things work. In ancient times, no one understood this. No one discussed this. Even our own lifetimes, years ago, we didn't hear about these things. You know, unless a person was depressed to the degree where he couldn't function, he was just bedridden, people didn't talk about this. And over here, according to Rashi, Rashi's way ahead of his time. He's telling you, Na'avesi means, I'm in a state of shock. I'm in a state of shock, and the person is bewildered. You walk the streets, you can't go forward. You're just traumatized. I can't do anything. That's a condition. That's a mental condition. That's a condition that's just as serious as having a physical wound. So I'm assuming Rashi doesn't say this. Rashi, but I'm making an assumption now that if Rashi is going to tell us that the other word, all is well, is referring to a person's mental state, when it says shachoisi ad ma'oid, maybe Rashi doesn't learn it to mean I am physically bent over, hunchback. It means my mental state is bent. I look down. I don't look up. I don't see things. I don't have the ability to see what's in front of me. I'm just looking at the ground. I'm in a state of a frame of mind where I can't go forward. I can't look at the picture in front of me. I'm just afraid of my own shadow. And then when
somebody is broken, it doesn't mean that he is physically broken, he is mentally.
Mentally, right. That's what you have to understand according to Rashi. Call Hayim Koider Hi Lochti. And then when the Rashi doesn't tell us what this means, Koider Hi Lochti, but the Mitzvah David says, I walk in darkness. We can't say the Rashi will be any less than the Mitzvah. If Rashi is only he refers to a mental state of being, and then the icing on the cake, according to Rashi, is ki chisolai malu nikle. My strides in life are always limited because I think very little of myself. I have a complex, inferiority complex. I think nothing of myself. The ein misayim bivsari. How do you learn that? How do you learn that in reference? Maybe you want to go say that when it comes to Dalit, pasuk Dalit, where it says ein misayim bivsari, maybe that refers to physically, that my flesh, my physical flesh, is wounded. And here when it says ein misayim bivsari, maybe this is more of a metaphor, my mental state of being. In my basar means my brain. My brain, every dimension of life, of attitude, of living life is damaged. It's damaged due to my state of being. Okay, this is a study of the human condition according to Rashi and the Mitzvah study.
You have two reasons for Emmet.
Yeah.
The first one was Mipnei Za'amecha, because he thinks that
Hashem is angry.
Now he says this is Emmet.
I did to myself.
My own.
I've done it to myself.
Feelings, I hate myself, I feel bad for myself.
This is what Hashem did to me, and this is what I did to myself. I damaged myself. A person can be his own worst enemy. A person when he's not in a good frame of mind, can hurt himself, both physically, we all know that, physically, and then the person can hurt himself mentally. Person does not believe in himself, he damages his opportunities in life. You're saying very good. The first
one could be mentally,
but it's from a different source.
And you said the certain thing is I'm down because I think
you Hashem have done this to me.
That's fear.
It's undeniable what Hashem has done to me, and then it's undeniable. Okay, I just want to stop for a second. The people have come online. Baruch Hashem, we have people here online. Rabbi Eliezer, leader friend, is online, and Ezra and Avrami Gross. We welcome everyone, of course, Laser. Laser Bachi is here. I just want to mention, everyone say that unfortunately I cannot hear you. There is a technical issue with this computer which does not allow me at this moment to hear you, so it's a one-way street today. I hope you can hear me. I'm assuming you can hear me. But unfortunately, we cannot hear you even without the speaker. There's something wrong. So just want to let you know, I'm not trying to insult anyone by not responding. We just there's something wrong with the computer today.
Use a chalkboard and hold up a message.
Okay, if you want us to hear, you hold up a chalkboard with a sign. Put up a sign. Put up a sign. Mashiach is also going to, it says, V'nosan l'cho'ois. Wait, what does it say? I forget. Let's go further. All right, let's move ahead. I want to go to the next psukim. I want to move ahead. Okay, there's a really, I don't know if we're going to have time here. There's a very powerful Malbim that talks about death. Not exactly a very happy topic, but I think we have to. Let's move a little bit more. Okay, we'll try to do it now. Let's just read this next pasuk. I think this is the one I wanted to mention over here. Okay, yeah, we'll do this now. Let's do one more pasuk before we wind down. One more pasuk.
What page?
Page 346. This is a very frightening Malbim, but we have to first do the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Nefu goisi v'nidkesi ad moed." Now, what does it mean, "Nefu goisi"? According to the Mitzudos Tzion, "Rifyon v'acha loshus." It means weakness. It means tired. I'm tired. I'm weak. We had it before. It means to let go. Let go. I've let go on life. "Nefu goisi." I have been weakened to the degree where I surrender. It really means like a person, I give up, I've been beaten so many times. Every time I try to do something, I try to succeed, I always fail. Every job interview, every time I go for an interview, no, we don't want you. Every time I make an investment, I lose money. Every time I try something new, no, I give up, I surrender. That's really what it means, nafugo, see, I let go. Rifya means to open up your hand, let go. I give up on life. Vinid Casey, I'm crushed. I'm crushed, my spirit has been crushed. Ad me'oit. Sho'agti, I cry out. Mi nahamas libi, from the groan of my heart. I'm in so much pain, I give a kvetch. I kvetch. Jews love this pasuk. There's no one that knows how to kvetch like a Jew. Right? Sho'agti, I roar. Minahamas libi, from the groan of my, the kvetching of my heart. Mitzudis David. Nefu goisi, vinid keisi, achozani chaloshus. I've been overtaken by weakness. Vidakus ruach, a crushing of the spirit. Vani shoyeg, I roar. I give out a kvetch like none other. Minahamas alei, from the groan, from the moaning of the heart. Loi mehasafa velachutz, not from the lips. We're saying over here an idea. This in itself is a very interesting idea, is that there are two different types of sounds that come out of a person. There's a sound that comes from the lips, and there's a sound that comes from the heart. Generally, when it comes from the lips, it's mitach simcha. It's from a healthy attitude, health. When a person speaks with his lips and his teeth, he's in control. It's a healthy state of mind. When a person is coming from the heart, it's usually an unhealthy state of mind. So that's what the mitzvah is. We hear my sha'akti. A person can scream. You can roar. You know, a person can get up and shul on a chair and start screaming and saying things, and you can start singing bar yochai and all the piyutim on Simchas Torah. But those are coming from koyach, from a healthy state of mind. Here, the sho'agti, my roars, are coming from deep down in my heart, which means from depression, from sadness, from difficulties. Okay, that's the mitzvah.
The other way around, it comes out of your lips is just without thought.
That's a different idea. Okay, that
the
soft velachutz
is coming from your heart.
Okay, that's true, but that's he's not saying that. He's saying that's a different idea. There's definitely truth to that. Soft velachutz, you're insincere. It's just lip service. It's just. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Is that how it goes, that expression?
Engage your brain before you...
It's not right. When you say something with your... Oh, you're sincere. Enochinam. But he's not using this pasuk in that fashion. In this context, he's saying that there are times when a person, he screams with conviction, from a healthy state of mind, and there are times when a person is giving out groans from the heart, and it's usually from sadness. Now let's look over here. What it says over here in the Rashi.
The first part of the pasuk is his feeling.
Okay.
The second one is reaction.
Is reaction.
Reaction.
I'm right. It comes forth. I've been defeated. Reaction. I have been crushed very much, and therefore I give a krechs. I give out a moan and groan. Rashi nefugo yisi nechlafti. I fainted. Okay, it's not the same as the mitzvah. The mitzvah said it means I've been weakened. I've passed out. I fainted. His heart fainted. His heart skipped a beat. Me'ein hafugois, there it means due to exhaustion. Exhaustion. A person is completely exhausted. Okay, that's a Rashi. Two different translations of the word nefu. Now let's really hear this. Let's first of all look it over here at the Malbum. Let's do this Malbum, then we'll stop. Pasuk Tes, first of all, look at the Be'er Hamilos on the left side on page 346. Pasuk Tes, Nefu Goisi Rifyon Halev. Same thing as Rashi. The heart is weak. Vayofa Glibo, Yosef did not believe. Yaakov did not believe that Yosef was alive. It's not exactly the same as Rashi. If you want to go make, start splitting hairs, to look at the nuances between what the Malbim just said, what Rashi said, what the Mitzvah is, it's not the same. They all have a slightly different nuance in how they want to translate this word, but it means the same concept, is where a person feels defeated, he's depressed, he is crushed, he's weak, he lacks excitement. He's just willing to throw in the towel. Now let's look at the Malbim on the right side. He seems to talk about a very, very scary concept, about death. What a person thinks about. This is really super duper scary. What he writes over here, if I'm reading the right way here, is Nifugoisi, Mitzayeris Atzmai, Ki'ilu Higia at Sha'are Modis. It's unbelievable what he's going to say now. According to the Malbim, David here is describing what it's like to die. He's describing what it feels like to be lying on a deathbed, a goises, knowing that in a few moments, it's all over. The last moments of life. Kiilu yigiat sharimotz. Who goises? Person, his heart is fluttering. His children are standing around him. They light the candles. They say, the vidu yishchiv meira. And it's all over. It's going to be over in literally in seconds. Vugoy says, v'nafsho mukhenes lot says, his nesham is being prepared to depart. V'derech achai, what is the human condition? Let's go to the psychologist and go and discuss now the human condition. What goes through a person's mind when he comes to this moment of truth? V'derech achai sheberega says nafsho. The moment of death. Ozen, yisasu kol ha-koychois ha-giviyah. All of a person's powers of his entire body, the leg has power, the arm has power, the mind has power, the eyes, the nose, every part of the body has contributed to the experience of life when a person is alive. All of these koichos that have given a person power to succeed, to move, to accomplish, to do, every part of the body, they all come to a person. They all come to the mind. They all appear. They show up to say goodbye. The powers of the body. Givya means the body. El halev. They arrive and knock on the door of a person's heart. The last thing to shut down in a person's body is the heart. Okay, now that would be, this is like a gold mine for you know, the machlekes, what's called brain death? Brain death, if the heart is still operating, case over here, you can't be no raya from a malbum, no way, you can't be no raya, but it is interesting what it says over here, that the last thing to shut down in life is not the brain, it's the heart. Okay, don't be no raya from this, but it's definitely interesting. V'oz halev mukaf mikol anshe hachayil v'koyches ha-gviyah. At this last moment of life, when the heart is about to stop, the heart is surrounded by all of its army. The heart is the general. And all of the powers of the body, the mind, the eyes, the nose, the teeth, the hands, the arm, v'chul, all the sensations, everything, they all surround the general. They're all there. He's saying spooky stuff here. V'doymer, it's like kenerj asher yislahev shenis terem yidach. It's common that when a candle goes out, it's on its last flicker. What happens? At first, it dulls, and you think, oh, it's over. Oh, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a burst of light. Flickers. That's the metzias. As the candle goes out, it goes lower, 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 lower. And then suddenly, oh, it comes back, but just for a second. And then it goes out. It's a metzias. Watch the Shabbos candles when they go out. You know, it's steady, and then it flickers, 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 and then it gets very, very, very schwach. And then one more, it rallies, and it's so common in the hospital. You all hear these people, the people, Rahman al-Sultan, it's not so uncommon. People who are dying, if they're zoicha to be awake, because today modern medicine is very rare for a person to be awake when they die. It's not very uncommon today because of modern medicine, but sometimes a person is still semi-conscious, and then you think he's gone, and all of a sudden he opens up his eyes for a few moments, and then he dies. Okay, this is a metzias. I mean, I'm not making this up. We don't hear about this too much anymore because, like today, there's morphine and all these other things that they do to people, and they all these things they do. But a candle, the person gner elokim nishmas adam, a candle, it flickers, it goes down, and then at the very last moment, one more flicker, one more shot. It flares. Shenis one more time, rallies one more time, teren yidach, before it goes out. It's crushed for good. Cain likewise, yis amitsu kol hakoiches. before a person leaves this world, there's one more flare, one more awakening, the very last moment, kol ha-koychos, oz then, v'yakifu, and they surround the heart, secharchar seviv halev, around the heart, shumelech ha-gviya, the heart is the king of the body, v'yoz yinoim ha-lev, ha-nihima ha-moro ho-acharoina, and it then gives out its last breath. V'yoz yavru lefonav kivnei moroin, and then a person's mind, it passes really spooky stuff coming out, Rosh Hashanah, the same nusach of Rosh Hashanah. It passed before a person, kivnei moroin, like sheep. Kol in yonei chayov he'ovor im he'osid. What future? So gone already. What does that mean exactly? The past and the future. At that moment, a person sees before him his entire life. Every single thing that he did from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. On the boundary, he now gets a sense of what's coming in the next world, which everything that he has done in this world was nothing more than a preparation for what's going to be in the next world. And the contrast on the crossroads between the past life, what happened in this world, Asher Yisam Mehen, which he's going to depart from, the Yelich Mechayim El Chayim Me Oilam El Oilam, to the next world. V'hu HaTzior, this is a tzior, an image, HaMavhil, that is terrifying. She Yitzayer HaMeshorer Poi, that David HaMelech is describing. David HaMelech was a Goises, he came that close, and he had that sensation of flaring his Nisham for one last time. Miraculously, he survived. And he saw his whole life come before him, and the next world. Oimer, hine behold, nifu goisi v'nit keisi, shenofoigu ha-koichos ha-pnimiois, everything in my body shut down. It's over. They shut down. V'nitku evrei ha-guf, they were crushed, meaning that they completely shut ha-chitonim. Ad me'oid, 100%. It was done. It was a done deal. I was dead. The Oz Sha'ati Minahamas Libi. I gave out my last breath. My last breath came forward. He Hanihimoho Acharoina Sheyinoim Halei Ve'esor Mahamodis. Uvichol Zois Tofas Lashon Shagosi Shahashog. Why is it called a Sha'aga? A roar. Muvdol Min Hanihimo. Different than a breath. And he means a breath. Shumoira al Sha'agos Shal Simcha. A joyous roar, ki ilu berega zoy hischadesh loy eze tikva v'yechol. At this moment, I had hope. I was filled with joy and hope. V'heichel l'sader tefilosoy. Now he's saying over here, this is leading into the next psukim, and over here he's saying, I guess it's maybe personal to David, that David here, although I was now taking my last breath, with this last breath, I pray to Hashem, I don't want to go yet. And then the psukim, which we did not do yet, describes, according to the Malbim, what he said to Hashem in his last breath. And that's for tomorrow. But the point over here is, he has described over here this incredible description. This is unreal. I don't recommend taking this and putting this in every nursing home and assisted living facility on top of the bed. And they put all the picture of the grandchildren, and you put this nusach. That wouldn't be very nice, right? But this is a very scary thing. What it says over here, that he's describing over here, a person is dying, and the heart is the king. All of the koichos, they come to the person's heart and to say goodbye, and he shuts that, and then he takes one more breath, and with that breath, he sees all of the events in his mind from the beginning of his life, and he already begins to see the next world, and he sees how this life, everything that he did in his life is going to be a preparation, is going to set the tone, set the whole atmosphere, environment for the next world, and he sees that transition, and with that last breath, he departs. What does it say in the pasuk? V'avraham zokein bo bayomim. And it says by that vayi osef el amo bo bayamim means exactly this idea. Bo bayamim, when a person leaves this world, bo, he comes with all of his days. Every single day in a person's life, they come to him. What did you do on that? How did you take that time that Hashem gave you? What did you do with that time? It all comes. They all reappear. We think people don't even remember. What did you do yesterday? I don't know. I don't even remember what happened yet. I don't even know what day of the week it is. What happened yesterday? What did you have for lunch yesterday? What did you do this? Nothing is forgotten. Maybe at this moment you're distracted. But at the end, every single moment in life reappears. They reappear and it becomes clear how every single thing served a purpose in order to serve as a foundation and a springboard to launch you into your next existence in the Olam HaElyon. Scary stuff, no? This is like...
But you see that all the time, that last burst of energy.
Yes, so he's describing it. It's exactly...
So many times.
Yes, and didn't I tell you? It's 100% true. But look how he describes it. The eloquence, the language, the depth of knowledge of the Malbim, and how he brings it out, and how he says, how he reads into the Pasuk, is unbelievable. Where do you get such things like this? All right, take a short break. I'm going to try to reboot. Let me try to reboot the computer. Maybe we'll do something. I'll be back online in a second. I'm going to reboot the computer to try to get the sound to work. What's getting worse?
Parking traffic.
Oh, the parking? Possible.
Yeah, I picked up a big sign from the cemetery. The way you did it. Yesterday, Yanki Meyer died. I was told the day before that Douglas Jablon went in to see him.
Who's Douglas Jablon?
Douglas Jablon was like the head of my mind. He's like he's a big works with my mom. Whatever, he takes care of a lot of things. I'm sure Yanki worked with him hand in hand with a lot of things that have to be done. And when he walked in, he was in a state of a coma. He stayed out of it. No. He came out and he said, Yanki squeezed my hand. And the guy told me this. I said, this might be the last hurrah before the end. Then soon after, he was.
I use those bases.
But he had no reaction or anything.
How long was he sick for?
It was a short period.
What do you have?
I don't know what he's talking about. So
he's doing it. Yaki, man.
Oh, it's very interesting on Yibum. I read it Shabbos. He says, "Vain ain lo." You know, lo. What do you call it? So, in other words, he mentions this in terms of the Yerusha. He says, "It's why is this person one of the reasons why God is so angry with him? If he doesn't do what he does, he's not miyabe the woman, and he gives a chalitza. So now his brother has no heirs, right? Who's going to inherit from his brother? He will. Oh, but if he has a son and it's in the father and it's his brother's name, then the son inherits his father's estate, the one that would have been.
Okay.
So the person lost out financially by having a son that's named after his brother. So it was a financial decision on his part. God says, oh, you're talking about money now. So that's what, don't be a smart aleck, you know what I mean? This is, in other words, he thinks he's going to inherit more money, so if, you know, somebody is single and he leaves his money to the family and then just before he dies he gets married and then he leaves the money to the wife, you hope maybe he didn't get married and have children. You know what I mean?
Don't take advantage.
What?
So you're saying, don't.
Yeah, in other words, you're doing it. It's a financial situation for you. You're thinking, well, if I don't, not me, I'm my sister-in-law, I'm going to inherit his estate. Oh, that's your reason? Now, I got a problem with that. In other words, you are making a decision not to do it because you feel like you'll lose, you'll have a better, you'll make, you'll lose money on doing it.
But just so say it again, say it again, say it again.
If your brother has a son, so your brother's son will have the estate, will inherit his father, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens? Al Shem Ochiv Hameis, Shimon died without a kid. Now Reuven is miyabing the wife, his sister-in-law, and they have a kid. It's Al Shem Ochiv. So his son, even though he's the biological father, his son, the son that he had, the first son, will inherit his father's estate.
Okay.
But if he's not miyabing his sister-in-law, then he'll inherit the estate. Not because there won't be another heir.
Uh-huh.
Now you're doing it for, for money.
This is the Malbum. You're doing it. Excellent.
It's a frightening, you know.
Very good. It's all about money. The influence of money.
It's all about money.
Malbum had a very, very tumultuous life.
They came, they do this for money. The reason I was with my son, they were
The only funny thing I had right at first, I cut my finger and think that he's broken this. So I saw that this goes back like 50 years ago. Yeah. And offered me to say things like that. But it's that long ago. So I knew this is stitches. I never had stitches before. I didn't want to do anything today. I ran for the long time. Yeah, I ran up and got stuck.
There's no choice.
I did drill.
To find fire with
the
iron now. Are they going to really arrest parents? Are they going to make
some examples?
They will. They will. Why not? They'll try.
It will.
It's going to look really good.
It will.
Meanwhile, how many truants are there in the public school system?
That they don't care about them.
No, exactly right.
They don't care about them.
That's exactly.
There's no fun with them
because education is not at all about learning anything.
And what they want to do, they don't care about whether we learn math or English. They want to bring in all the woke stuff.
Right, exactly. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
I think if we all run to Lakewood, you know what? Then the feds will get it.
Of course, the feds are very honest. What, the feds are not behind us? Yeah. The feds are behind us in New York City?
They don't even need to view.
Of course they're behind you. They're almost all partners. And what do they get out of this?
She just got $1 billion? Really? Anyway, whatever the pit is that she gets, it's for mandated services that they want.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Rabbi,
okay, we're back.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. I want to run through today. Run through from a few halachas, minhagim. We like minhagim. Rabbi Sai, let's get back together. Rabbi Sai, recess is over.
Recess is over.
No.
Okay, let's get back together. Now let's teach. Kufza Dalit.
You fixed the computer?
Yes. I fixed the computer. Can we have confirmation? Does anyone want to confirm that we can hear you? I think we fixed you. Does anyone want to say hello to us? Dr. Friedman.
Well, you can hear them now.
I guess not.
Dr. Phil,
talk to us. Could someone?
They gave up.
Does anyone want to talk to us? Signs of life. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Baruch Hashem. We can hear you. Baruch Hashem. What we really need to do is we need to get that screen to work so everyone can see each other. Guys, we got a way to do that.
Distracting.
You think so? I think it would be good if everyone can see each other. That would enhance.
Just imagine public schools in the last 2 years doing it by remote. How many problems they had, technological problems, and the kids are on and off and nothing.
The biggest problem by far, and this has been reported only 1,000 times, the biggest problem with Zoom in public schools is that the parents at home hear what they're teaching their children. It's not a joke. They hear, what in the world are they teaching? You go to public school, you don't know what they're teaching them. Now they hear in the living room, what? What did the teacher say? That's what they're teaching you? They're teaching you these crazy ideas, these crazy things? That was the biggest problem. They just don't want to teach because the parents complain. What did you teach my child? Okay, let's learn. Let's learn over here about some of the inyanim of Rosh Hashanah. Let's start with some things, a little bit of a review we learned before. I want to try to go through quickly. whole collection of halachas and minhagim. First thing, let's talk about going to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Is a person is it a good thing? Is it a good thing to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah after you come home from shul and you have a su'uda? Ah, now you want to lie down, take a nap. So it says in the Ramah. Okay, it's not in the Mechaber. The Ramah says.